Revving up your engine.
Listen to your howling roar.
Metal under tension.
Begging you to touch and go.
Highway to the danger zone. Right into the danger zone.
All right.
And we maxed out our mics very aggressively.
Well, that must mean one thing, Sebastian. We're doing another episode of Men's Junk.
We are doing another episode of Men's Junk. And today, well, let me introduce myself. I'm Sebastian Ankiel, and this is
Vito Rizzo.
And today we are talking about a topic that I think is, wow, I just totally skipped that whole front part, didn't I?
You sure did.
Sure did.
Sure did.
So, how about you ask me what we're talking about today?
Sebastian, see me how this is episode 3 of Men's Junk. What are we talking about today?
Today we are talking about men and depression.
Wow, so we're not talking about chivalry.
Oh, are we talking about chivalry?
No, not anymore, apparently.
No, we're not.
No, we...
No, we are most definitely talking about men's mental health, depression, suicide, all those really fun, wonderful, happy topics.
It would have been interesting if I came in today prepared to talk about chivalry and you're like, nope, changing it. Talk about depression.
Yeah. That could happen.
That could happen. I don't know what you're going to talk
You've known
about.
Me for a while, so it's possible.
Do I know you?
You think it's possible?
It's totally possible. Anyways.
All right. So I'm just going to do a quick little introduction. Like, I think that if we're going to talk about something like this, and I mean, you know, all seriousness, it is a serious topic.
Perfect.
So depression is a common and serious medical illness that negatively affects how you feel, the way you think, and how you act. Fortunately, it is also treatable. Depression causes feelings of sadness and or loss of interest in activities once enjoyed. It can lead to a variety of emotional and physical problems. It can decrease a person's ability to function at work and at home. This definition is from the National Institute of Mental Health.
That's a pretty textbook definition of depression.
Yes. I mean, it varies.
So here's the pertinent thing. Why are we doing an episode on depression?
Because based on some of the stats that we've been looking at, I think that it's something that a lot of men in general are just not really looking at as a problem.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of talk about depression as a whole, but specifically when it comes to men and depression, there's certain variables that distinguish it amongst the rest.
Yes. So, I mean, one of the if you look at like the textbook definition on different symptoms, you know, you have like the ones that are really, really expected. So, for instance, you know, I'm referring to the definition again, you know, feeling anxious, restless, or on the edge, loss of interest with all kinds of different things, problems with sexual desire and performance, feeling sad, empty. Those are a lot of the like the ones that we like come to expect. And a lot of people probably already understand that, you know, that's what depression is. But one of the ways it also manifests in, I feel like it manifests more for men is, and it's really highlighted, and you know, when it comes to males, is anger, irritability, or aggressiveness. Also engaging in high risk activities and a need for alcohol and drugs. So I think that's, and also isolationist kind of like concepts where like you just isolate yourself from your friends and your family. And so, you know, and that actually, you know, when I get into the stats, you'll see how it really reflects how there's a real problem that's happening.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like flying into the danger zone. Unwillingly.
Right into the danger zone.
Right into the danger zone. Unwilling participant of flying into danger zones.
Well, I would even say that, you know, in some cases, unknowingly, too.
Didn't I just say that?
Unwilling is and unknowing is a little different.
Ah, touche.
Yeah.
Touche. Throwing those big words right
big
out there.
Words.
Big just words. Big bulbousy words.
Really large bulbousy
hey,
words.
Hey, 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 hey. We're way over our innuendo talk.
Are we now?
All
right. Okay, so.
Yeah, five more of this podcast. We got to sparse them out. Our dick references.
That's why this podcast exists, so we can literally make dick references on a podcast.
Well, if they listen to our first two episodes, then, they know we got an affinity for the penis.
They got their fill. So I'm going to get into the stats and I'm going to get into the stats. It's been one of those days.
Get into those stats. Come on.
I'm just going to go ahead and say it.
There's a kiddie pool of stats. You need to dive right in.
We are two men that just want to make the world a better place for men and women. And today was just, it was a bit of a messy day, and here we are. So
it's a messy day.
We're just going to be honest. We're going to just throw it out there. So
I'm already sweating.
I am sweating as well.
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. I had a rush here. I was late. Oh, man.
It's awesome.
It's awesome.
This is like the perfect metaphor for life.
Yep.
So we're going to get into the stats.
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So here's where it gets really, really interesting. So women actually statistically are two times more, they experience depression two times more prevalently than men. However, men are 3.54 more times likely to commit suicide in the U.S., and three times more likely to commit suicide in Canada.
Huh. I wonder where that point, two or five comes from?
I don't know. I think we're a little more chill here in Canada.
Maybe.
You know, any kind of like disparity, class disparity that's like bad in Canada is just like a little bit worse in the U.S., feel like.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm not sure.
That available weed for recreational use.
Yeah, because we got to get everyone to mellow out.
On a serious
note. You can mellow out.
On a serious note, that's a pretty interesting figure. Interesting. That there's more depression amongst women, but, you know, men will just take it to a lethal level.
Yeah, exactly.
I can see how that is. Knowing other guys with depression and knowing myself with depression and that idea just swirling around in your head.
Mm-hmm.
And I almost wonder what that differentiation is amongst male and females of the species.
Well, and I mean, once again, before I even say anything, I'm going to say that, you know, we're not professionals. We're by no means any authority about these topics, but we're trying to spur on discussion about this. So my general theory is that women typically talk about their problems a lot more readily than men do.
I would agree with that.
So generally speaking, you know, and also in guy or bro culture, it's almost really frowned upon to even talk about your problems because, one, either you're being quote unquote like a pussy or a bitch, or two, you know, the response is, well, you just got to man up.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about feelings when there's so much sports to talk about.
Yeah.
And so much promiscuous action to talk about.
Well, yeah, we got to talk about the babes, bro.
You got to talk about the babes, the score. How about that local team?
Because that's what's important in life.
That's what's important in life.
Yeah.
I worked in a construction site.
Who's better, Vito, Tupac or Biggie Smalls?
Whoa.
We don't want to talk about your feelings.
You know, I don't want to get in shit because of this podcast and really divide the audience between Tupac and Biggie. I'll step on some toes, but those toes I do not step on.
I am literally taking stuff like a discussion that happened like when I was working the club very, very regularly.
Oh my God. Yeah. The conversations we hear in a club that are just
I mean, these are coworkers, right?
Yeah. Coworkers.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm dealing with the same stuff at work with my male coworkers. How's life? It's good. Do you do anything? Playing some video games. That's about it. You know, watched Do you watch hockey? Oh yeah, yeah. I'm the Vancouver.
And it seems like it's almost that kind of I don't want to call it dysfunction, because I'm not saying like it's wrong. Like, if that's how you guys communicate, that's super cool. But I feel as though it's a lot more open, for instance, in European cultures to, you know, like guys, I've heard of, you know, cultures in Europe and other cultures where guys hold hands, guys hug, guys, you know, and I don't know why that is that here it's, we have this kind of like almost, it's almost homophobic, you know?
Well, holding hands and hugging is definitely a bizarre thing. Although I do find holding hands, I don't think will ever be a thing here. Two guys holding hands.
I think it'd be great if
I've never held your hand.
We can start today, Vito.
Hands are really sweaty right now. It's so hot.
Just don't hold my hand right now.
Just don't hold my hand. Yeah. Well, but my like dad hugging? Is. Well, your dad is European. My dad is also European. They never talk about emotions. They never talk about feelings.
That's very true.
They may be more huggy and hand-holding, but the level of communication, I mean, at least from our very, 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 very small pool, is not quite there.
Yeah, and typically the response to when you're having a sad day is just to be angry.
Or drink.
Really? Yeah.
Fair. Come on. We both.
That's fair.
Come on.
So basically, like, what we're trying to convey here, though, is that there is a problem. Like, it's obvious there's a problem, and it's not just making guys depressed. I mean, it may be making them depressed, but it's also taking them to the length that they're literally just killing themselves. Mm-hmm. So it's not, and this actually really ties into the next stat, which is, and this really boggled my mind, is between 15 and 34 years of age, suicide is actually the second leading cause of death after accidents. Doesn't that just kind of blow your mind?
Strangely, in a very morbid way, very understandable from just my experience in listening to others.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can you elaborate on that?
It would go like directly into my personal story, but also like I tend to, misery loves company, and I tend to attract, well, at least years ago, people that were also in a similar situation of depression or just loneliness and isolation and never wanting to talk about their feelings. Just that quiet desperation.
Okay. So, but you also said, but you, in a way, you said two things that don't really, that are, they kind of juxtapose a little bit, is you say that misery loves company, but misery also doesn't want company at the same time.
Yes. Yeah. Well, there's a thing about, you know, when we talk about, you know, guys getting together, just talking about sports and chicks, as they would phrase it, they still don't talk about a lot of times the feelings are real, you know, trouble that is brewing in their mind. So you can be amongst a group of people and still feel absolutely alone.
Okay. So you're saying that like there's a drive for men to be together, but it's just really hard for men to be together and seen at the same time. And what I mean by seen is like,
yes,
here I am, you know, not just me puffing up my chest and being, you know, telling you my bench presses, but actually exposing things that I'm really scared or feel really vulnerable about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I never felt comfortable doing that for, well, it's been 3 decades.
There you go.
Yeah. And I've rarely, if ever, had a male friend ever open up to me in any regard. And any deeper level, expressing, you know, their fear or their worry or what's bothering them or what they're ruminating on. And,
yeah,
you know, not a whole lot like that, unless it's just really logistical. You know, like, I'm trying to find a new apartment. I'm like,
yeah. Okay.
You know, but that's also, thinking about that apartment is also causing you this mental anguish, and you don't want to express that, or you don't feel you can express that.
Do you think that, well, that's kind of what I was going to allude into, is do you think that, for instance, in the range of human emotions, do you think that there are certain emotions that are just in terms of the male dominated culture? And I'm talking about, like, you know, if I wanted to go to the extremes, you know, when I worked at a nightclub, that posse of guys I used to work with, you know, when we were bouncing, that's, you know, a very, very like male hierarchical. Oof.
Sound it out, Sebastian.
Hierarchical.
Close enough.
But it was really interesting that, like, we actually, in a way, it seems like we reject certain feelings.
Yeah.
Like it's just really frowned upon to express certain kinds of feelings, like sadness or vulnerability specifically.
Well, those feelings can directly impact your ranking within the
That's
group.
Totally what I was about to get into, actually.
Yeah.
That is, it's funny because I remember talking to somebody at my work, and he was someone, you know, a very high ranking male in that hierarchy, and he just went off like on a tangent for a second. Like, he just went off on this tangent talking about how, you know, maybe he shouldn't have done something. And then it was, he saw what he, like, I could see that he physically saw what he started talking about. And then that was like the end of it. I never heard about it ever again.
Ooh.
It's pretty par for the course, right?
I don't have an example off the top of my head, but I've definitely been in a couple of those situations.
Yeah, like, it just kind of like meanders down, and then they go and they start talking about something they regret. And then as soon as there's like a hot button that gets hit, and it's almost like, it's here, I'm going to throw this out there. Maybe men are just scared to be vulnerable.
Heaven for Betsy.
Well, but really though, if you think about it.
Yes, well.
We're not really used to it. Like, it's uncomfortable.
Well, classically in Western culture, that's been the message, is don't show fear. You know, toughen up. No, don't, boys don't cry.
Yeah.
That is still a message that is only very recently even mentioned as a problem, you know.
Yeah, it's pretty recent. I would say in the last like five years, maybe even.
Yeah. And again, how often do you actually hear about this in any mainstream capacity?
Well, I think I saw something really recently on a bus stop about toxic masculinity.
Well, there's no greater source of information than a bus stop.
I'm just saying, like, it's we're slowly,
you know, Sebastian, there. I read on a bus stop. This
no, like, there was an actual ad on a bus stop. I'm not even joking.
Get out of here. An ad on a bus stop. Get,
no,
crazy.
This is not graffiti.
All laughter aside.
This is actually a thing.
Well, as you're looking something up,
sure.
I want to throw out an idea of why we run into these situations. And men also has something to do with men and how we form friendships.
Okay.
Because
I'm curious.
I'll just talk specifically about men. Men, we typically, our social circles are revolved around either two things.
Okay.
Work or hobbies.
Yeah, of course.
It's never usually based around a connection.
That makes sense.
And we're both in that boat.
Yeah. You know, well, we met at work.
We were work friends. And we talked about work stuff. And mm-hmm. We did work stuff and blah, 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 and chicks and UFC.
Yeah.
And then we share a similar hobby.
Yeah.
Well, magic. And guess what we talk about a lot?
Our hobbies.
Our hobbies.
Oh, yeah.
Rarely do we divvy out time to talk deeper or just take the time to build a friendship that is beyond those two typical things that males find themselves in. How many males?
It's so true. It's really true. No, it's you're hitting the nail on the head.
When was the last time you made a friend outside of hobbies or work? A male friend?
Well, I mean, pretty much all my friends are through work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
So okay. So let's okay. So we can actually take this like one step further. And here, let me hypothesize something. So I'm gonna go into a little bit of like parts theory. Like parts theory is something that I was introduced to by my therapist. Mm. And you have a lot of different parts. So for instance, the defensive ego and like the inner child is kind of they have a kind of a relationship. And the relationship typically is that when you're young, when you're a kid and you're just enjoying life and you're just literally in the moment, that's the way I would describe like your inner child. At some point, our inner child is in a way stripped from us. And our defensive ego comes in and says, you know what, kid, like you can't cut this anymore. Like I'm gonna take care of you. We're gonna do this my way, and I'm gonna make sure that nobody hurts you ever again. And I feel like that message is sent to kids really, really early. Like in my case, I was bullied really, really badly. So I learned to grow like a really thick skin. And my inner child, that person that you would connect to, maybe on a deeper level, was now tucked away. He was put in a closet somewhere and said, you know what, you just hide in there. You just stay in there, and you know what? I'll take care of business. And my ego did all the work. And it's funny because our egos identify more with our work and our hobbies, if that makes sense.
Yes. Yeah. The ego is there for self-preservation.
Exactly.
It's not there to help you grow. It is there to make sure you see the next day.
Exactly. So I feel like we're taught really young to not really be ourselves because it's not safe to be.
Yeah.
And I mean, that goes into like a whole nother jar of pickles, which is now we're talking about bullying. Now we're talking, you know, all those kind of things. Kids are just mean.
Yeah.
Kids are just mean. Like I remember when I was a kid, like, I don't think like the guy who bullied me knew how mean he was being to me or like how it was affecting me.
No, and we have no idea. Like, I mean, good chances his home life was an absolute disaster.
It's really hard to say.
I mean, bullies.
Yeah, I mean, there's even bullies that I would totally believe that there's bullies that are like come from totally nice families too, and just enjoy terrorizing kids. Like, I actually believe that.
Well, here's the thing about when you know? Say the phrase nice families. Nice families doesn't
what
mean
is that? Yeah.
Connected families, or is the father, you know, teaching the son values and lessons, and is the mother,
yeah,
you know, connect like oh. You came from a nice family,
yeah,
relatively.
Yeah, totally.
I mean,
I got a question for you, actually.
Yes.
Let's talk about something that's really polarizing. So if you spend any time on the internet, you probably have seen the video of that little girl walking home from school that got kicked off the bus.
No.
Okay, so there's a video, and it went viral, and this girl was like bullying people on the bus, and she got kicked off the bus, and her dad got forced to pick her up, and instead of picking her up and putting her in the car, he made her walk in front of the car. And was like, well, this is what happens if you bully kids in school. Now, basically, like, the father was like pretty much almost, is this jogging your memory a little bit?
Yeah.
Yeah, it went around, right?
Yeah.
And it was interesting because there was two different schools of thought, which is one was, well, she deserved it and she's getting consequences and she's going to learn from this. And two, the second school of thought was, well, the dad is just as bad as what she was doing. Like, he's bullying her. So what behavior is she modeling? She is modeling her father's behavior. Her father's behavior was, in a way, domineering. And so she would replicate that and do that when she came to school. So in essence, some people were arguing that he was just teaching her to do more of the same.
Mm. Well, the road to hell is built on good intentions.
That's very true.
So I definitely see the point, and all children, regardless, need to know that actions have consequences, whether good or bad, and to form your actions towards good outcomes, mm-hmm, than wanting negative. was that the best way to teach a child not to bully? Probably not.
Yeah, you know, I'm kind of in the same school.
That merely punishes a behavioral problem with physical action.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't know. I think kids are smarter than we think they are. And I think if you ask them the questions, you can actually get them to...
Well, they're more instinctive.
Yeah. I mean, you can always just ask, like, what were you thinking? Like, what was the idea? Like, why did you do that? Like, you know, instead of just, you know, getting a handout and smacking them, like, metaphorically, maybe, you know, that's another approach that might work.
Yeah.
So we kind of got a little off topic, but I thought it was a really fun conversation to have just in regards to bullies.
I remember that video, and I've seen a lot of other videos. Just one I recently saw was a father smacking his son across the face because the son was getting into a gang. Yeah, you know, like you think you're tough.
Oh, don't even get me started, man. That makes me so sad.
It's like you think you're a
gangster? That makes me so sad. I'm serious. No, it is.
Thing in the world.
No, I'm telling you, like I have family. We have family friends. Okay, like somebody that I would consider an uncle. He quote unquote has or had a son who got into drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And the father's response was to disown him. And to me, that is like
that's the
saddest thing in the world, because he feels like the father feels like he's doing a duty, but he's really doing possibly the worst kind of harm you could possibly do to a kid. Like, you know, when you're 18 or 19 or 16 or even when 25, you're still a kid.
Yep.
You're still a kid. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, unless you've, I mean, I don't know anyone who's 25 who has all their shit together completely.
It's a rare breed.
Right? And
they come from a nice family.
And no, but even this, like, get this. So, you know, I'm in a life coaching course right now where we have people that are in their 60s that are still working on themselves. And what I mean by that is, and one of them referenced this concept. She said, you know, when will I ever get it, you know, perfect or right? And our teacher, who's awesome, by the way, her response was, well, maybe we just never get it perfect. You know, like maybe we just never get there. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was like really cool because, you know, the concept of like becoming perfect or becoming whole, or maybe it's just an ongoing process that goes on forever. And that's totally okay.
Yeah, that's a good idea for a podcast episode.
Yeah.
Perfectionism. Totally.
Well, that's a little bit of the inner critic as well, which also gets into parts work as well. So
we gotta stay on topic.
We'll
write that down.
But randomly though, like if we're gonna talk about, you know what, I'm gonna get into it a little bit later. So I got a couple little random stats here that I thought were really interesting. So I'm gonna round up here because otherwise you're gonna make fun of me. So
I'm not a bully, okay?
Nearly 69.67% of suicides in North America are by white males.
Mm-hmm. I've heard this stat.
Yeah, I thought that was just really interesting. It could be related to the level of expectation maybe put on. I'm not sure.
It's a very hard thing to talk about.
Yeah.
Because it's very touchy. I would have a million things to say. But the fact that this is going out publicly,
yeah,
it's to talk about, well, why is it a high percentage of Caucasian males?
Mm-hmm.
And to talk about that, you kind of have to conceptualize other ethnicities and
yeah, of course.
Why their stat is so much lower.
Totally.
So.
But yeah. I mean, if anything, I mean, it just shows that. It shows that like what has been done in the past and male culture in the past. I mean, white males traditionally, like I'm going to say this, I'm going to, you know, be very gentle about how I word this and careful about how I word this. But traditionally, the top tier positions in society were not really available for other ethnicities to garner. So, this system, this hierarchy male system maybe even like we can even refer to it as the patriarchy, the old patriarchy, is obviously not working for Caucasian men's mental health. Mm-hmm. And that's how it's being.
There's one critical thing I can definitely say about this is that this, that you can for sure say is a representation of the West.
Yeah, for sure.
And this is what the Western male stat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
This is it.
This is, and it's, yeah, I mean, it's a problem. So
I actually was hearing something along the line talking about depression, and they were equating like other various countries or third world countries don't have nearly this level of depression.
No.
You know, and one person said, like, you know, if you got to bring water to your family and you got to travel several miles multiple times a day, when do you have time to even think about being sad?
It's true. And I mean, also on the flip side, though, not only that is when you don't have so many distractions, I think it's a lot easier to be focused on really what's important. Mm-hmm. Because if your brother or sister or mom or dad doesn't get that water, then you die or you suffer that day. So, you know, the level of gratitude that would be shown to those people, or because you need them, you actually need them to live. We live in a Western society where, you know what, like if I don't see my brother in the next few months, it really doesn't matter.
Yes.
Like there's no consequence for that. So I guess what it means is that we actually have to create those structures ourselves, and it requires a lot more intention than maybe, you know, what you were just describing, where it just kind of just happens automatically because it's by necessity.
I'll add one more thing to the, you know, fetching water analogy, and that is purpose.
Okay.
You're fetching the water for a purpose that has very tangible results.
Of course, you
drink for another day, you live for another day. That's purpose.
So do you think that North American society lacks purpose?
Hell yeah.
All right. Like, touche.
Name me a single depressed person, and this is very anecdotal. Name me a single depressed person you've ever known that also had purpose, like real purpose in their life.
Well, I would find that like to be like a little, like what do you define? Like when you say purpose, like what is purpose?
Oh boy.
You know what I mean? Like I'm just trying to understand, because like here you are. I mean, I know that you personally, I mean, it's okay if I say this, right?
Yeah.
Like you suffer with depression yourself.
Yep.
But we're here and we're doing this podcast.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, in a way you have a purpose in this very moment, right?
Yes, I guess I'll be a little bit more specific in purpose is pursuing something of value to your own life that is significant.
Okay, that makes sense.
You know, that you, like, a classic example is you're pursuing a career in fill in the blank that gives you gratification.
Yeah.
You know, I want to be a computer engineer, and you're pursuing that, you know. That is purpose. Or, you know, you really want to lose a lot of weight, you know, like you have this goal, you have this result, you know, you have this purpose. It keeps you on track. It keeps you chugging away. And when you do, and you're doing it specifically for yourself, not for other people.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my, I'm getting into like so many like deep topics now.
No, we got to stay on topic, Sebastian.
No, because it's totally related. And here's just some food for thought, because I feel like accomplishment and the drive and productivity are sometimes really wonderful distractions from the obstructions that allow us to just accept ourselves as the way that we are.
Do you have a...
That's literally...
A little vague.
Does that make sense though? Like for instance, like if I can fill up my life with purpose, then I don't have to necessarily look inward. I can always look outward. And I feel like a lot of the work that needs to be done, let me be like perfectly clear, like depression is a disease. So it's not something that you just, you know, clap your hands and, you know, like clap on, clap off, and there it goes. Like, I'm sure, you know, which is something we'll probably get into later on. But I feel like a lot of the work also, like when it comes to our own levels of happiness, let's put it that way, is also has to be inwards as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess it goes external, internal. It can go both ways. But I find sometimes that men are almost told that if they're productive, then they'll be happy. And I don't know if, like, do you see what I mean? You see what I'm saying?
I am seeing what you're meaning.
Yeah. Like if you look at, like, for instance, really, like, people who've done really amazing things in this world, you know, the Robin Williams of the world. Mm-hmm. I mean, that guy did crazy stuff, and I mean, he's gone, right?
Yes.
So, yeah. I mean, there's so many awesome actors and actresses and artists.
There's, you're absolutely right, and I'm glad you talked about that. There is a thing that Tony Robbins talks about,
mm-hmm.
about, you know, like having these big goals, like, oh, I want to have this company.
Mm-hmm.
You get the company. Well, okay, what's next? I got to get that that girl I've been always wanting. Now you got the girl. What next? You know, and it's just next, 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 next. Mm-hmm. Because as soon as you accomplish it, you're never content. You start facing inward.
Yeah, of course.
You know?
Exactly.
There's no... The aspect of yourself that is outward is accomplished, but inward, you haven't even worked on yourself.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I don't know, just neat little... Actually, that was really... I think that was actually a really productive discussion to have.
Yes.
All
right, see you next time. Bye.
Yeah, see you later, guys. Good game, guys. Good game. Good game.
Good game.
Good game.
Helmets not
good game. You know, we tried really hard, and... You know, we took all the best kind of chances that we could, and, you know, we tried our best tonight, but we just couldn't muster it today. I don't really know what happened. It was just a really tough game. The bounces just didn't go our way today.
Yep. Thanks, Coach.
So,
Coach Sebastian.
I'm ready for the interview. You ever hear how funny it is? It's always like the same interview. It's always the same.
It's always the same.
Yeah, you know, the puck just didn't bounce our way today, and you know, it just weren't.
Yo,
I shot it as hard as I could.
From the Inconsistent News Reporter Weekly. So what went wrong tonight? What went wrong? What's going on?
Fuck you, Vito.
What went wrong for you today? Well, what happened out there?
No, but it's awesome that once in a while, like, they're just like, fuck you.
Yeah, that's great. That should be the response.
You know, hey, you just played the worst game of your life, and just lost. And can you tell me about it so I can make a story so I can make some money?
Yeah.
Yeah. Jeez. Wow. Speaking of, like, hitting people in their vulnerabilities, right? Like, hey, you were out there with your pants down, and everybody saw you and laughed at you as you lost that game. Do you want to tell us a little more about it? It's kind of funny, though, when you think about it. Like in our own popular culture, this is like a normal thing to do. Like, think about this. Oh, you just had the worst day of your life. Hey, Vito, tell me more about the worst day of your life. Isn't it insensitive?
It's absolutely insensitive. It's crazy. It's also the most superficial. It's like, oh, what happened there? Is no one ever asked, like, you know...
When did profits become more fucking important than people? Like, seriously. No, seriously, though. Like, look at the news. Like, this is, I mean, now I'm getting fired up. But, like, seriously.
Oh.
No, seriously, though.
Someday we're going to have, like, a little segment, like, Sebastian Rant Time with Sebastian.
Get the reporter out of here, man.
Get out of here, you.
Get out of here.
Nah, 33 skidoo.
Yeah, just close the door and lock it. That's it. Okay, so... Here's an interesting stat. I thought this was really, really, really fascinating. Is married men are less likely to commit suicide, but married women have the same percentage. Mm. So the actual stat is results for the entire sample. High risk of suicide were found in divorced rather than married persons. Divorced and separated persons were over twice as likely to commit suicide as married persons.
Is there any hypothesis to these stats? Is there any deeper level?
Women are just wonderful, Vito.
Well, yeah, duh. Jeez, I know that.
I think it kind of goes back to, okay, like, and I'm just speaking from my own experience, okay? So this is not everyone's experience, but I know that my mom, being Eastern European mother, she was trained by society, by culture, by her parents that, you know what? Your husband is allowed to be abusive once in a while, and it's okay. It's fine.
He just needs to get a little anger out sometimes, you know?
Yeah, he's just had a bad day. It's okay.
He had a bad day.
Like, he can't control himself. Hey, he's just a guy. He's just a guy.
Different times.
You know, he's just being a guy. Just being a guy. Yeah, that's all. Mm-hmm. He just had a bad day, you know? He just wants to take it out on a few people. Hey, if you don't make that spaghetti perfect, like, you're going to hear about it, okay?
Not the spaghetti. That's an important meal.
Okay, if that soup is too hot, you're going to hear about it, okay? Okay, son? God,
I hate when soup is too hot.
So, look out. Because when dad's coming home and he's in a bad mood.
Mm-hmm. Kids, as Chris Rock said, he better have the big piece of chicken. Dad better have that big piece of chicken or else, someone's gonna get hurt real bad.
So I really think that that's part of it. It's unfortunate. Hmm. I'm just gonna take it on the chin here, but
that's one of a bevy of possible variables. Yeah.
Well,
also I think men, you know, are just more willing to talk to women than men.
Well, I think also
to
that
a certain level.
Yeah, and I also think that like women are also taught to coddle men.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, baby boy, like, oh, you had a bad day, like, tell me about it. Oh.
Yeah, women are.
It's
really,
weird, right?
Yeah, women are really great at just calming the storm and rage of a man.
They can, yeah. Some women for sure.
Or have the exact opposite. Not. Like one of those two.
Well, you had a bad day. Well, let me tell you about my bad day.
Just some of the things I've seen you go through. Like, there's, yeah.
And now we have World War III. Brought to you by Budweiser.
Okay.
I'm talking about the situation when, like, where maybe, you know, two people are inflammatory.
Fair.
Yeah.
Fair.
That I didn't have to deal with as much. Thank God bless my mother. So, so one thing, so there's also a whole section. Now, I wanted to also refer to a website here. There's a website called headsupguys.org, and I found it really helpful because it actually lets you, if you don't want to go to a doctor, and most men actually don't want to go to doctors or go to therapists, I think there was actually a stat, and I can actually pull it up here. It's going to take me 1.1 seconds.
Well, he's pulling out his phone, ladies and gentlemen. This is bad pod.
Here you go. No. Listen to this. So more than 1 in 5 men in therapy in America surveyed said they didn't trust therapists and wouldn't want to be associated with the type of person who receives therapy. Do you hear that second part?
Yeah.
So, I mean, a lot of guys aren't even willing to, you know, get the help. So heads up, guys, there's actually a section where you can do a self-check.
Hmm.
So you can go through. There's a full questionnaire. And it'll literally, there's one that's on depression and one that's, I believe, on stress, which is actually the one I'm struggling with right now. But anyway.
Oh,
so.
Well, I, for myself, have always found stress to be a certain stress to be a precursor to depression.
Okay.
And I don't know if we, we need to get into the our stories.
Of course. So,
or do you have some more stats before we?
No. That's the end of the stats. So we can kind of. This is kind of like in a little open space now, where we can kind of talk about our own experiences.
Thanks, Mom.
Vito, I just love you just the way you are.
Thanks.
You don't even need to be successful. It's okay.
Mom, Sebastian.
Mom loves you no matter what.
Mom, your beard is looking great today.
I know. There's a little gray in it, though. I don't know. Like,
it makes you look distinguished.
What would you say is something that someone could do for you in the sense that, you know, you're having an awful day or you're having a bad day or a depressed day, and what would be the appropriate way to help or you know, I know it might be impossible to help, but to approach you?
It's a very perfect question to it, and there's two sides to it.
Okay.
I hope this can help other people listening to this. First and foremost, have people that can just listen to you.
Yeah, of course.
Someone that you trust that isn't judgmental mm-hmm. about it and is not going to be like, whoa, 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 can we just talk about sports and chicks is very important. You know, and I find a lot of security in talking with my very close male friends mm-hmm. about this and just being heard and seen.
Of course.
Really just, it helps the mind stop ruminating and stop the just recurring
the cycle,
thought,
yeah.
the cyclical thought pattern.
Mm-hmm.
And it just breaks it up, just knowing someone listens and understands and mm-hmm. cares.
Of course.
That should be number one, just telling somebody who cares.
Cool.
Whoever it is.
So I'm saying like if I yes. just approach you.
Yes.
You're saying just listen.
Yeah, listening is huge. And okay. after the listening, you mm-hmm. know, when you know, you've expressed it and it's just, you got it out there. You have that moment of sigh of like, okay, all right,
mm-hmm.
what's next? Yeah. Then it is the practical action that you are capable and willing to take.
That makes sense.
That's the next step.
So kind of getting you, in a way, out of your head.
Getting out of your
but
head.
But actually getting it out of your head, physically out of your head.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. That makes sense.
Because throughout all my patterns of depression, and I'm just been a individual that easily gets into depression ever mm-hmm. since I was a child. And, you know, it's taken me this long to figure out being heard and just talking is so vital.
Yeah, totally.
And then applying action.
Yeah. So also on the same strain though, what should you not do? Because I think that's totally relevant to this.
You should never take it upon yourself to fix it.
Oh yeah. No, I know I've done that before.
This is I'm pretty safe to say this is a typical male pattern, and
totally.
It goes along with the isolation and the high rate of suicide is just, you know what, I can handle it. I'm a quote unquote man.
Yeah, I'm alpha male.
Man.
Ah.
And just take it upon yourself. I can deal with this. This will blow over.
You mean like personally, like not to do that to yourself?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Isolating yourself, taking upon yourself. Oh, I can handle this.
Like, yeah, of course.
It'll just blow over. Like if you don't talk about it to somebody you can trust, it's not going to easily go away.
And I guess that's kind of where I was going is when you do go to someone and talk about it, like what should they, like aside from just listening, what should they not do? Got five minutes.
Oh, yes. The person listening or the person talking?
So I come to you and I'm like, you know, and I'm listening to you tell me something like, hey, I'm having a bad day.
Mm-hmm.
What should I avoid?
You should avoid trying to just try to fix all my problems.
Yeah. Or like belittle them or minimize them.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense.
Because here's a trap that even really good friends that are trying to support someone can fall into, which mm-hmm. is, and this is goes along with the men typically just want to solve a problem. They see a problem, fix a problem,
totally
within themselves or with others. They just fix a problem. Arr!
Yeah.
And if you ever deal with women, sometimes you just got to shut up and fucking listen.
Yeah, it's true.
And it's a lot like those lines is, shut up and fucking listen.
Mm-hmm.
Just take it upon yourself to, okay, I'm not going to purposely fix this. I will support.
Yeah, that makes sense. Totally.
Themselves.
Just support by giving space.
Yeah. Like honestly, I've given this advice to a friend who has a sibling that was really in the depths of depression. Mm-hmm. And they asked me, what can I possibly do? I'm like, sit down. Talk to them.
Yeah,
like, hey, you want to go see a movie?
Yeah.
Want to go for a coffee?
Totally.
That helps immensely. Just getting out of the house,
of course,
helps. And an invitation to, you don't have to talk about what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
You can just be.
Yeah.
You know.
That's like, it.
You want to go see a movie? I would love to go see a movie and not be like on you about your fucking issues.
Yeah, like let's fix it.
Yeah.
I want to fix it.
The silent support.
Yeah. I think that's something we could all get better at, honestly.
Yeah.
So the one way I wanted to discuss, like, for myself is, like, I know that when I get sad, I get angry. And that's something I've had to really work on, because when I get angry now, I put up a red flag. I mean, I don't
put up walls.
Yeah, I don't. Well, I want to push people away, right? So, I mean, I'm not like diagnosed with depression, but I do know that for a fact that, like, when I get mad, it means that I'm usually sad about something. So there's something I need to address. So I just kind of pump the brakes a little bit. And that's been really helpful for me recently. So,
and just being self-aware of that is huge.
It took me a long time. I had to look up the men in depression portion to see the correlation between anger and depression to understand that when I was angry, I was sad.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
If you go to headsupguys.org, there's also some other ways to deal if you are currently suffering or sad. And their list says you can spend time with other people, talk with a friend or relative about your feelings, which is actually what Vito just went over. Increasing your level of physical activity, so exercise. Break up large tasks into small ones. Delaying important decisions until you feel better. And keeping stable, active routines and avoiding alcohol. So those are some things you can do. If you're looking for more resources, you can actually just go to the website. And that'll be super helpful in giving you some tools or somewhere to start if you need a hand.
Cool.
Yeah.
Shall we end it there?
Let's do it.
Cool. So I'm Vito Rizzo.
My name is Sebastian Ankill. Thank you for listening to Men's Junk today. We are talking about fringe male topics for the betterment of all society, men and women included.
Have a good night.
Rock on.
Peace.